Welcome to the Ted Brewer Show. We're here to help you today, answer some of your questions. You know, we got a bunch of emails that have come in. Also, I got some good news for you guys. I talked to my producer, Todd, this morning, and we're going to set it up for phone calls. I mean, by tomorrow, Lord willing, the rivers don't ride and the creek don't run over and all that kind of stuff. We're going to have it set up so you can actually call in and give us your comments. I'll try to answer your questions the best I can. If I can't answer them, Austin probably can. But not as much questions. I want comments from you guys. I want to know that you guys think we're on the same track, if you think that we're right, if you think we're wrong, and I want to know what you think. And so we're going to start taking live phone calls, and let's not go into a Christian bashing thing or a Jew bashing thing or a Muslim bashing thing. Let's not do all that, but let's just talk about the facts and what's going on and who's doing it and why they're doing it and what the goals are. And let's just keep it really, you know, calm like that, not get all bent out of shape as far as from a religious standpoint, because I want to really get a pulse on what's going on with the show and how you guys are taking what we're saying. Because, you know, we've got all these stories we do every day, Austin and I do, and we occasionally bring a guest on. But the reality is we're not getting a lot of feedback from you guys except for the emails that come to the office. And I'd like to know how many people are actually listening. I know we have thousands and thousands of people listening now live. We don't even know how many are listening via satellite. So I want to know how in the world you guys feel about what we're doing and how we can tweak it here or there and make it a little bit better for everybody else. And if you tell me is I need to slow down when I talk, I already know that. I've got that one, Austin. I've heard that one my whole life. So, Now, this morning we had a very interesting story come through that was extremely, it dealt with Child Protective Services with CPS, and I wanted Austin to start off with that story today. He really didn't want to read it because it was so awful, but I think you guys
are going to read it. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to give you guys a brief synopsis on it, and I'll tell you where you can go read it online. It's a very lengthy story. It's so negative, I really don't want to read through it back again on the air, just being honest with you. But I feel like it's something that everybody needs to read and needs to understand how far it goes when the children get involved with CPS or what's known as Child Protective Services. The gist of the story is there's basically three young girls. This started back in like 2013. Two of them were twins. They were 13 at the time. Another one was 15. And essentially, two of them got busted by one of their parents' friends for smoking pot. So basically, it came up, the mom found out, and apparently there was an anonymous phone call to CPS, Child Protective Services. Agent went over to the house, talked to the mom, said, hey, listen, you need to go in, you need to file, you know, a claim with the police department that, you know, you want to put this on record, that your kids are using pot, you know it's bad, you know we need to make sure we watch them and take care of them. So the mom did it, and it was just an absolute spiral from there on out. Basically, immediately, about a month later, all three of the girls were immediately picked up by CPS agents. They were all put in foster care. Two of them that were getting so abused in the foster care after a month, they decided they were going to run away from the foster care. After they got picked up after about a week later being out of foster care on their own, CPS agents finally found them again and then sentenced them to a year, and basically a program called the Wolverine Secure Treatment Center, which is a maximum security facility built in 2008 for basically 12 to 18-year-olds who've been convicted of extremely violent, heinous crimes, and they can't be put in general population of regular prisons because they're not old enough, and they can't even be in normal teen prison lockdown facilities because they're just entirely too violent to be around anybody else. Essentially, it's gone really negative since then. One of the girls now is basically, she won't eat. They have had to put her on life support and a feeding tube. She's down like 95 pounds now. And the CPS is still refusing to let them out of this Wolverine Protection Institute, which is basically a juvenile violent delinquent center, and they don't know what to do. And so you can go online, you can read it on a website called Health Impact News, and the girls' names were Abby and a few other ones, Abby O'Donnell, and you can read about it on there. And if you live in Michigan, you need to call up the governor, Rick Snyder. His phone number's on there. Call up Phil Pavlov. He's a senator in Michigan. You guys are going to try and do something in that state to help these girls out, because this has gotten completely out of hand now. It's just so negative, like I said. I really don't
Well, the one girl ended up being put into a prison cell with someone who had murdered like seven people.
Yeah, right? They're all gang-related killings, and she was in there. That was her bunk mate.
Yeah, and the other girl has lost down to about 95 pounds now. She's 5'9" tall. She's gone totally anorexic because she decided to starve herself to death rather than stay there. And it's awful. And all because the mother turned these kids in to the police, which got CPS involved. I've seen so many horror stories. I remember one time I had a friend of mine who was on a cruise ship. And what happened is he got off the cruise ship, and the guy basically had told the cruise ship people that, you know, this lady had done a lousy job in the kids program on the cruise ship. The lady got off the cruise ship, the worker on the cruise ship, and dropped a dime on this guy for CPS and just lied. And the guy went through a year and a half of hell. I've got another friend of mine. He had a guy who had a restraining order on him because the guy was trying to kill him. And finally, the guy finally figured he couldn't get a restraining order dropped, so he dropped a dime on the guy and basically turned him in. And then that went on for another year and a half of hell. And the craziest thing about this is they don't have to have any proof at all.
None.
But again, what happens is when these kids are being told that they're using pot and somebody drops a dime and CPS shows up, again, you don't talk to these people. You get an attorney and you say, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you. You have no proof of your allegations. I'm going to have my attorney talk to you. Do not bother me again without my attorney present. Because it's what that CPS agent did. She got the parents to admit the kids were using pot, right?
Yep.
And then once she got them to admit that, then she told them that she had to turn it to the police department. So the mother turns her own kids in, and that started the spiral. She gave them evidence against her to have the children arrested and taken away. That's why it's so important that you understand, and we talked about this yesterday, and forgive me for being redundant on this because this is just something that's so important, that you don't help someone do an investigation on you, particularly if your children are involved, if you're involved in a DUI or whatever. Just shut up. I mean, gosh, I mean, I've never heard an attorney say, my client did really good for himself by talking to the cops. They don't say that. They say, I wish you hadn't said this. I wish you hadn't said that. I wish you hadn't said this. I wish you hadn't said that. And that's crazy. That's just what happens. But you've got to be quiet. You just can't say anything. Just be respectful, but don't say anything. Because they're doing an investigation to see if they're going to escalate. And that's what the CPS lady did. She did an investigation. The lady admitted her kids were smoking pot one time. Then she told this lady to turn it into the police, which the lady apparently had not done that. The CPS lady would have done it. And so now they got all this mounting evidence two different times now that she's gone in and told them the kids are smoking pot. So now they're an unfit parent 30 days later to take the kids away. And quite frankly, there's so many kids nowadays smoking pot, which is, it's been like that for 50 years, since the 60s, that if all these children were taken away from their parents, I mean, gosh, it's awful. But remember, it's been shown repeatedly that a lot of the CPS people are involved in child trafficking. And, you know, and they basically steal these kids from these parents, and some of them are given up for adoption almost immediately to people that are on adoption lists. I mean, it's the nuttiest thing you've ever seen. A lot of them disappear into CPS, and then you don't even know what happens to them. A lot of them supposedly die, but the parents never see the body. How do you know the kid died? How do you know the kid died? It's like with Sandy Hook. The parents were told supposedly they could not see the babies, the children that were shot, and all of the caskets were closed casket for all of the funerals. Okay, that's ridiculous. Because number one, there's no way that I understand that the guy did a headshot and part of their head was missing. I got that, okay? But they're not doing headshots. They're not killing that many people with headshots. So the whole thing with Sandy Hook is weird to me, and it seems like it's more obfuscation trying to go for gun control than anything else. And that one book that came out on Amazon, that was pulled off Amazon, which basically said that Sandy Hook never happened. Now, who knows? I mean, that's the problem. When the mainstream Rothschild News decides to break a story and start releasing a bunch of information, then you don't know what's true and what's not true because it's part of the narrative that goes on. Here we go. Let's do some world news real quick. U.S. and Turkey caught covering up ISIS oil trade. This is from Hang the Bankers. Both Ankara and Washington were obliged to inform the U.N. Security Council about ISIS illegally trafficking stolen oil, but they didn't. Russia's UN envoy said in an interview, adding that this is against the UN resolution on financing terrorism. We've got serious complaints about the implementation of Resolution 2199 from the UN banning financing of the terrorist organizations. Vitaly Churkin told RIA Novosti News Agency under Resolution 2199 adopted on our initiative in February, countries are obliged to provide information about financing terrorists to the Security Council. if they have such information, that means the Americas had to provide the information. And of course, Turkey, which should have been reported, any illegal oil trade going on there, they didn't do it. Of course they didn't do it, because they were funding their operations by doing it. That's how they were doing it. They got, the CIA got tired of putting their black ops money from their Afghan opium trade into Turkey and into this mess, so they decided to start financing it through oil trades. That's exactly how this happened. They didn't want to use the black ops money, so they started using the money from the oil. And, I mean, that's what's going on over and over and over again all over the planet. And you look at this stuff and you go, well, it can't be that bad. Well, it really is that bad. I mean, this thing is so corrupt and so awful now that people have no idea how ridiculous it has become at the highest levels. Our government, parts of our government have been hijacked by a cabal, by a set of globalists with interlocking corporate directorships that control everything. And we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Also, what do you think about that story?
That's interesting. I know I pulled up the numbers today, and silver, or not silver, well, silver's at 1369, dropped a nice little bit. So if you guys are still waiting on silver to fall more, it's pretty much there. I'd pick some up. What's interesting, though, is that oil hit 35 a barrel on Friday, and it's still sitting there. Currently, right now, I think it's at 35.62 a barrel. Now, Russia's stating that they're expecting 2016 to be around $30 a barrel. So that's interesting. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and it had broken 40 and dropped down to like 39, and it's still continuing to go lower and lower. Good news for you guys that are going on vacation, gas is just going to keep getting cheaper and cheaper. So that's a positive aspect of that. However, generally when we start seeing oil and commodity prices and all this start dropping really, really fast, it usually is not a positive sign.
What's happened is the bankers started the giant Ponzi scheme back in 1913. The Ponzi scheme collapsed in 2008. They stuck trillions and trillions and trillions more dollars into the Ponzi scheme now to pump the Ponzi scheme back up again. The problem is the GDP growth really hasn't been there. Everybody's been doing all this on borrowed money. And that's why the stock market's gone up and up and up, because of the interlocking corporate directorship from the banking cartels, after Glass-Steagall was taken away, are now allowed to basically put their money and their savings, people's monies, into the stock market, which was completely banned after the crash of 1929. And so Glass-Steagall was set there to protect us, but the banks have been able to do this now, which means they can push the stock market way up. And that's why the stock market hasn't gone into a full-blown free fall, because all that institutional money, those hundreds of trillions of dollars from all these massive giant corporations from all over the planet, are in there holding up the market, which is kind of crazy when you start to think about it. Here's another interesting article. Now, I don't believe this article, and I'm going to tell you why. It's from ABC News. And this is what I was talking about with the interlocking corporate directorships of the Rothschild banking cartel. They control all the major news wires, own the major news agencies like ABC News, because they do it through the interlocking corporate directorships and just straight out owning of the stocks. They did it by buying up the stocks with their fiat currency. And of course, Rothschild owns Reuters and AP Wire. And here's the interesting. It says 5 total confirmed incidents of suspicious phone vibes in Missouri. Now, this is part of the narrative they're spinning before a terrorist attack, to say, we told you there was a possibility this is going to happen. So they're telling us what they're going to do right here, and they're releasing it through the ABC News. Another suspicious purchase was made in Ava, Missouri on Saturday. Authorities in at least 5 Missouri cities have now gotten reports of suspicious phone purchases at Walmart stores. ABC 17 News reached out to law enforcement in Ava, Missouri, and has confirmed through a news release that last Saturday a man purchased a large amount of cell phones from a Walmart there. Police said they reached out to Walmart employees at the Lebanon and confirmed the same man had also purchased about 60 cell phones at Walmart earlier that day. They released the man after they found they had no legal reason to detain him. The latest report is in addition to 4 other reports of similar incidents in Columbia, Jefferson City, Macon, and Lebanon. Authorities in all 5 cities said they had contacted FBI agents. However, the FBI only confirmed it is investigating 3 of those reports. Now, the reason I say this is this narrative, they're telling you what they're doing now on this cell phone purchases. Cell phones are used for covert communication to talk back and forth to terrorist cells and to people who don't want people to know where they are. Because they use a cell phone a couple of times, they just throw it away. Cell phones are also used to trigger bombs. This is how the IUDs work in Afghanistan and in Iraq, in Syria, who else, all that hellhole that we call the Middle East over there now. And what they do is they'll sit there with a trigger and they'll call that phone when somebody drives by. And when that phone rings, it triggers an electrical charge that sets off the explosives. I don't know if you knew that or not, Austin. I'm sure you did. But that's
how. Well, the thing about the cell phones, what make them such an effective detonation tool, is that generally if you try and use a standard detonation, you see, like, you know, buttons or remote detonation, a lot of those have a very limited distance. You can only go so far and still have active range because you actually have to have an antenna or some sort on the bomb. Now, with cell phones that essentially have unlimited range in the United States or anywhere between cell towers, you can link that cell phone up to any type of IED or explosive device. And exactly like you said, as soon as the phone number needs to be called, they'll get a, you know, hey, you need to call a number now. Bam, you click send. It immediately calls it. Within seconds, it triggers the bomb. And the person that detonated doesn't even have to be anywhere in the vicinity. They don't even have to be anywhere in the state. They can be so far away that it doesn't even, nobody even knows where it happened. All they have to do is have a spotter somewhere on top of, you know, a bridge or a building with a, you know, with a binocular spotting for them. So, yes, there's definitely something odd about that. And then not to mention that it's happened in repeated ones, and almost all of them said it was, you know, basically foreign-speaking men paying cash, buying just a boatload of cell phones. And now, I understand, it's Christmas time. There's a lot of people that are buying cell phones for gifts and stuff like that. And these cheap burner phones that are usually, you know, $20, $30, $40 for a cheap phone, and then you get a prepaid card on it. But going into a store buying 60 cell phones at a time in cash, that's very, very, very odd behavior. That's definitely
and the
not
fact, and the fact that ABC News released a story through Reuters and The Wire, et cetera. See,
yep.
That's the Rothschilds are releasing this story. They're spinning the narrative in advance. Well, we knew something was up because they bought all these cell phones. We need to seize guns. Why did they stop selling prepaid cell phones? That'd be better than doing the guns.
Yeah.
You remember, Austin, years and years ago, we went and visited some relatives in Germany, and we were blessed to actually stop by the Mercedes factory and see how they make Mercedes. We got to get a little tour over there in Stuttgart. And you remember we went out to the AMG factory, and you were with me. I'm going to bring this up. And they had like it was an S-Class 65, and it was a beautiful car, and it had this huge antenna on the back of it. You remember this? And the car was baby powder blue leather. The entire car, inside, outside, was powder blue leather. The consoles were powder blue leather. The dash was powder blue leather. The whole car was powder leather. But it had this giant antenna on the back of the car. And then screwed into the dash was a satellite phone. And you saw it. You were with me right there. And I looked at you, and you looked at me, and I looked at the guy, and I said, who was showing us this car? And I said, who owns this car? And he goes, a Saudi oil sheik owns this car. And he popped the trunk, and tell him what was in that trunk.
Dude, it was big. It was probably about a foot and a half by a foot and a half. What, big old black box in the back. And Dad goes, what is that giant thing? It takes up like a quarter of the trunk. So that's a cell phone jammer. It blocks any cell phone signal within 500 feet or in any area, any direction around the car.
And I asked him, why is that on the car? And he goes, he doesn't want a bomb detonated in his vicinity, so he jams all cell phones. Now, who in the world even thought this stuff is legal, okay? But that's what he had on his car from Mercedes, installed by Mercedes. A giant cell phone jammer in the trunk of this Mercedes S-Class, powdered baby blue. It was an S65. The sticker on the car was like $280,000, $300,000. And I couldn't believe this guy had actually ordered a cell phone jammer. And that's when I finally began to realize what a problem in the Middle East they have. This, like they could say, Sheikh so-and-so's on interstate such-and-such, or if they have interstates over there, on highway such-and-such. He's about to pass this intersection where this bomb is. I'm giving you a 10-second countdown to detonate the weapon. And, of course, as soon as it gets 500 feet away from it, it's not going to detonate.
Yep.
Cell phone gets jammed. Imagine trying to drive down the highway with this guy zipping down the highway at 150 miles an hour. He's going to take out every cell phone. Every cell phone in the whole area is going out. And so that was something that I wanted to share with you guys. I had forgotten all about that. Also, that's been, close to 10 years ago. And the craziest thing about it is they actually build stuff like that for that very purpose, to jam cell phones. So when ABC News comes out with Reuters and the AP Wire now, and they're promoting all of these cell phones being bought in Missouri, remember, this is the lesser form of magic. These guys are Satanists, okay? It's like the CIA. The CIA, when they started doing the remote viewing stuff back in the 70s and 80s, and Austin, you don't know this. I'm going to tell you something real quick. This is really interesting. The CIA found that they could actually have people go out of their minds and remote view areas around the world and do intel for them. They actually were able to pull that off. And then they actually had one guy who was actually able to stare at a goat. and stop this goat's heart, and this goat just fell down dead. In fact, you read the book, The Men Who Stare at Goats, and General Stubblebine was involved in all of that. Now, what was also interesting about this, in the early 80s, they disbanded that program, but the CIA continued it, and they brought in witches and warlocks and Satanists to do the same thing. They brought in witches, full-blown witches, that they were doing these occult ceremonies in the CIA. The CIA is that wicked. They're a bunch of Luciferians, okay? And you guys say, well, no, that's not. It's true. You can look it up. It's just ancient history. They brought in real witches to try to do the same thing. And they were calling on the powers of darkness to do this. And apparently that's what they did to stop that goat. And that guy was able to do it. And he wouldn't even talk about it after he did. He wanted to get out. And now, it's the nuttiest stuff when you start looking at what they do and how they act. These people are wicked to the core, and that's what we have to understand. These are the ones that are running the co-op, the black ops, and all the things in all these different countries. It's a bunch of Luciferians who want to turn everything upside down that God did to bring in the Antichrist. That's what the whole purpose of this is. And unless you understand this and understand what they're doing and who they're involved with, none of it makes any sense. Because as Christians, we can't believe these people are this evil. But they have a little thing. They have a karma thing they have to do with their little magic rituals they use. Because if they don't tell you in advance what they're going to do to you, then the karma supposedly on the other side for them is really, really bad. They believe this. So they've got to let you agree with it. It's kind of like inviting the vampire to come into your room, into your house. They can't come into your house unless you invite them in. That's how sick these people are. They believe all this black magic stuff. And what they do is they've got to tell you in advance with a narrative of what they're planning on doing. They just broke this on the ABC Wire News. Now, whether or not they do this or it gets too much traction, I don't know what they're going to do. But I know something. The Democratic Party and King Obama and the Rothschild Bank and all the people that are running this country right now, the globalists, they want our guns. They want us disarmed, and they want to take away our liberties by taking away our guns. And that's what the goal here is. I mean, Obama has a terrorist attack in California, and he says, we got to take away everybody's guns? That's the biggest idiotic statement I've ever heard. If more people had guns there, there wouldn't have been a terrorist attack. If there indeed actually was a terrorist attack, because the news could spin anything, any place. Watch that one movie called Wag the Dog. They can make it look like anything, anywhere, anytime, release it on the wire, and everybody believes it, and nobody questions it. Crazy stuff, Austin. Crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah, and this just came in from over the weekend, from Friday. Last week, man, down in South Florida, about 3 hours from us down in Miami, several men broke into a high-dollar hobby store and took off with thousands of dollars in merchandise. On the cameras, what's really interesting is they have full cameras of these guys. They're dark hair, full beard, look a little Middle Eastern. It's not a clear shot, but I would say that would be my guess. But anyways, then it says both men were seen going to the back of the business after they broke in the front and letting other men in. The odd part was they took a bunch of RC cars, the remote control cars. The employee said like one of the cars cost about $800. Some of them cost $400 or $500. And apparently they ended up getting off with almost $10,000 in RC cars. And the employee said the suspects hopefully will be caught because they did not bother to hide their faces for the camera. These guys are on full-blown camera, like looking at the camera. But this is pretty odd. This just kind of coincides with what you're saying with the phones. And now all of a sudden these guys break into this high-dollar hobby store and they just steal a bunch of RC cars. Granted, those are pretty cool get Christmas presents, but golly, you got to be one low-life sack of poo to go steal Christmas presents for your kid from a hobby store. I mean, that's pretty
Let me share. An RC car is a radio-controlled car for the ladies and the men who are listening who don't know that. And what they're able to do, they're able to carry sufficient about 20, 30 pounds. I mean, these are expensive toys. And if they were going to put C4 on that car, they could actually run it down the highway on the side of the road to a place where they wanted to put it, again, remote control it, and then detonate it with a remote control cell phone. I mean, yep. This kind of stuff, this is old technology. This is stuff from the 50s and the 60s, okay? This is stuff that Tesla did back in over 100 years ago. But this is the technology that these guys use to employ. They're not going to come out with a particle beam weapon unless they really want to use one. But the point is, this is the kind of stuff they do. This is why you got to be thinking about all this stuff all the time. That's crazy, Oz.
Oh, I know. And then that's why I wanted to bring it up, too, because it's funny, if any of the younger audience has ever played the Xbox or PlayStation game called Call of Duty, that was one of the actual tools you could acquire as a special ops unit. Is it was a C4 strapped RC car. I'm not making this up. You can go get it. I think it was on Modern Warfare 2. And you actually radio-controlled car. It had like a half a mile distance on it, and it was strapped with like 4 pounds of C4, and you'd run it into a building where another group was, and you'd hit the buzzer or call the cell phone on it, and it would blow up the entire building. So, I mean, that right there just shows you, I mean, this is a very, very effective tool for doing stuff like that. And some of these RC cars, like I said, the ones, you know, $800, some of those have extremely long distances on them to the point where you can use them on tracks, and you can be back on a stadium somewhere running on a track a half mile down the road back and forth. So that's pretty odd that that happened, especially with the whole cell phone things. Whether or not they're related, I have no idea, but it's definitely something to keep your eyes out.
Well, you know, it's true because people steal Christmas presents, I guess, all the time. I mean, yeah. I found out this week I was going to hang a bunch of Christmas lights up, and one of the ex-employees I had working for me stole my Christmas lights. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Why do you steal Christmas lights? I mean, it's just ridiculous. But I mean, but people just out there, if they're thieves, they're thieves. You know, that's what they do. Okay, let's go ahead. Let's go to the next one. A video. Police shoot man in the back as he walked away. They execute him as he crawled for his life. Okay, this is from the Free Thought Project. It's a video. This is what we released today. Clearly shows 28-year-old Nicholas Robertson walking away as police open fire on him. After the first deputy fired over a dozen rounds, the man can be seen falling to the ground. In a desperate attempt to save his life, he begins crawling away from the officer. At this point, a second officer arrives, and after a brief pause, both begin firing recklessly as the man crawls just feet away from a gas pump. In total, the officers fired over 30 rounds at this man. According to the police, deputies were responding to several calls of a person described as a black man wearing a checkered shirt who was seen with a gun near Magnolia and Alpine Avenues. Lieutenant Eddie Hernandez said the deputies claimed they gave him several commands to drop the gun, but the suspect turned and pointed the gun at the deputies. However, none of this is being seen on the video. In other words, these cops are, of course not. And I mean, this is just crazy. This was in Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies. That's where this one was from. And the guy was 28 years old. His name was Nicholas Robertson. And you watch the video, and he doesn't have any guns. You don't see any guns. But they decided they were gonna. I guess what happens, he didn't fall down when they yelled at him and started pooping on himself with his feet sticking up in the air, peeing on himself, thinking, oh, my God, I've been told what to do by a cop. He probably just ignored him and said, I haven't done anything. Why am I going to listen to you guys? And that caused him his death. See, and we've got to get these out-of-control law enforcement people back into control. These people are so wicked, some of them, Austin. And I'm not talking about all of them. Probably 80% of police officers are really good, especially in the smaller areas. But when you get into the metropolitan areas like New York City and Chicago, you got a lot of cops up there that are really, really bad in L.A. County. And a lot of these guys are into drugs. They're into payoffs. They're into kickbacks. They're into all kinds of stuff. This guy could have been a guy who was a drug addict or a drug dealer who was supposed to be giving these guys money, and he refused to do it. And they just shot him for it to send a message out. I mean, we don't know. The craziest thing is, what's going to happen? Is this guy going to act? Are there going to be more riots now? Who knows? Here's another article. Ted Cruz, Donald Trump to keynote the 2016 South Carolina Tea Party Convention. This is out of Breitbart. Breitbart News has confirmed that Senator Ted Cruz will address the 2016 South Carolina Tea Party Convention held on Saturday, January the 16th. The convention, seen by analysts as a seminal event in the run-up to the state's first in the South primary, runs daily from January the 16th through the 18th from 8:30 to 6 p.m. Donald Trump, Carly Farina, gosh, I don't like that woman. I'm sorry, guys. Just don't care for her at all. Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum are also scheduled to speak. The South Carolina GOP primary is slated for Saturday, February the 20th. I mean, Ted Cruz now has gone ahead of Trump in Iowa on the straw poll, if you believe those. I mean, who knows? Breitbart also said that he's got a 10-point lead over billionaire Donald Cruz in a straw poll being taken in Iowa. I don't know much about Ted Cruz. He talks to talk. The problem that I have, and I've mentioned it before on the air, and guys, don't get mad at me about this, but his wife was an executive at Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs is one of the banks that owns the Federal Reserve. To me, that sounds so shady, Austin. I can't even believe that that's, I mean, just shady, dude. It's just shady. I mean, his wife was an executive at Goldman Sachs, and now he's running for president. I mean, talk about an insider. My gosh, I mean, his wife works for one of the banks that own the Federal Reserve, and now he wants to be president, and chances are they're probably going to give him the presidency, you know, unless they say that he's disqualified, because I think he was, isn't he the one who was born in Canada? They're saying he can't run?
I don't remember. I haven't followed up much on him at all.
I don't pay a lot of attention to these guys, but I guess you have to be from Kenya if you want to run for president. What's the next story, bud?
Well, you were mentioned earlier about the gun stuff. Yeah, they're seeing a strong resistance in Congress now to gun control measures. Congress basically saying we don't have anything to do with gun control right now. That's with no reason or need for it. California already had incredibly strict gun control, one of the strictest in the entire country, and obviously it did absolutely nothing to prevent these, you know, supposed terrorists from acquiring weapons and, you know, pipe bombs, whatever they were supposedly had. So basically Obama has taken the working outside his constitutional authority. Yet again, he is working to enlist the help of many of the state governors who he helps will sign their own executive orders. And this is interesting. Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy plans to sign the first executive order in the nation to ban the sale of guns to people on a federal government watch list. Anyone who wishes to buy a gun in Connecticut already must first apply for a permit from a public safety agency, then a thorough background check is conducted. The executive order would add an additional level of protection and require those who apply for a permit to be screened against any and all government watch lists, Malloy said during this news conference. Government Malloy also discussed his intent to take away any legally purchased guns from owners on that list. And what nobody understands is, we brought this up multiple times in the last couple of weeks that I'll just touch on, is that the no-fly list, which has put thousands of people on this list for reasons of just mere suspicion alone,
almost a million people are on the no-fly list, Oz.
Yeah, well, I mean, just from the people that have gotten on there and they weren't even supposed to be on there and they've had to appeal and stuff now, it's not based on any past crimes. It's not based on anything, any true accusation. It's just based on pure speculation, and essentially whoever wants to put you on it, if they're in that agency or in that area, they can simply throw your name on it with zero ramifications on the back end. So this is something everybody needs to be aware of. Connecticut already did some massive, massive gun control nonsense after the whole Sandy Hook thing, which we just mentioned. But this is interesting. If governors start doing this, which I don't think it'll happen in most states, because most states just, they're not going to get that aggressive with this. They know they can't. There's going to be an uprising. They start doing stuff like that. But see, they've already seen that Connecticut was already castrated with their weapons after that entire Sandy Hook shooting. I mean, they made them turn in all those guns. You couldn't even possess half the guns anymore up there. They made them all illegal.
Sandy Hook's one of the weirdest things I've ever heard of, Oz. It's just the whole thing's weird.
Well, yeah, and then just all the gun control push after that incident was so heavy and so pre-planned. If nobody noticed that there were some type of underlying objective behind it, then you were blind, because it was so clear. And then the fact, I mentioned this before, the biggest thing that always caught my attention was the first initial media reports. The Sheriff's Department said, yes, we found this guy in there with two handguns. He shot himself in the head after he shot everybody. We found an AR-15 in his trunk, and there's a helicopter video footage of the Sheriff's Department pulling an AR-15 out of the trunk. 30 minutes later, they say, no, there were no handguns used in there. He had an AR-15. That's what he shot everybody with when the coroner said that. They were all rifle rounds, which completely contradicted the entire story to begin with. So, and that was the thing. It fit the narrative to pass the scary assault weapon ban in Connecticut. So that was just, I don't know.
Why did all the parents get new houses free of charge? That's what I want to know. I mean, the whole
yeah. Why weren't they allowed to see their kids?
That's right. Well, the West Coast, the kids are still doing great, I guess. December the 14th to the 18th, the wake of reckoning for global stocks as the Fed hikes interest rates. Guys, this interest rate hikes would be interesting, because if the Fed really does this, what's going to happen is it's going to really affect bond prices. I mean, bonds always go down in value when interest rates go up. Now, if they do like a 25 basis point hike, it's probably not going to do a lot. I mean, it's probably not going to do much at all. They may just test it and see what's going to happen. But it's going to be a day of reckoning. And what's going on with the economic collapse, wrote, we're about to witness widespread panic in the global financial marketplace. Are we? In a question mark. This week is shaping up to be an absolutely critical week for global stocks. Coming into December, more than half of the 93 largest stock market indexes in the world were down more than 10% year to date. That's huge, by the way. And last week, stocks really started to slide all over the world. Here in the United States, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down over 600 points over the past week. And at that point, it's down more than 1,000 points from the peak of the market. That brings us to this week, during which the Federal Reserve is expected to raise interest rates for the very first time since the last financial crisis in like 2006. If that happens, that could potentially be enough to accelerate this slide into a full-blown loan crash. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's going to be interesting. But here's something else that just happened. DuPont and Dow have now merged in a $130 billion deal, 10% of DuPont's workforce to be fired. 10% of the workforce to be fired. Two of America's oldest publicly traded companies will combine with Dow and DuPont, merging as equals in a combined company that will have $130 billion market cap and will be named Dow DuPont. And while Stark shareholders already benefited from the deal with shares of both constantly raising 14-10%, the biggest losers are once again the employees. The combined company announced that as part of the $700 million in restructuring efforts, 10% of the employees will be laid off. The parties intend to subsequently pursue a separation of Dow DuPont into three separate independent publicly traded companies through tax-free spinoffs. I mean, let me tell you something, guys. How would you like to be a member of one of these people, 10% of the people? Oh, by the way, we're going to tell you over Christmas now you're getting fired. I mean, what a horrible, horrible Christmas to do this. Secondly, remember, and I'm going to tell you this is my opinion. You can verify it for me. Dig into this, and you'll find out, and this is my opinion, that this Dow merger and the money that's being paid for this Dow merger is, again, big bank Rothschild money that are tying these things together. This is what they do. They come in and they buy things for nothing with fiat currency. They make from nothing fixed solid assets, and they combine it to increase their net worth. And they don't care about the people involved in it or the people working there. That's why so many of them get taken apart. Years ago, I have a good friend of mine, and he had a $10 million credit line with a company that he had. And he had signed the credit line over from the bank. He was basically indebted to the bank with the credit line. Well, what happened is he got behind on his accounts payable, receivables, et cetera, and he stretched from 30 days to like 60, 90 days, and so he got behind. Because he had signed that paperwork with that bank came in with a restraining order. Austin knows this is true. He knows who I'm talking about. The bank came in with a restraining order, forced the owner, the founder of the company out. He was out. Now remember, he was still making his payments. Everything was fine. He'd already found a buyer for the company. Everything was fine. Didn't make a difference. They brought in their own management team, the bank did, threw him out and seized everything. His company was worth like $60 million. They ended up giving him like $2 million after it was all said and done, and a goodbye and a kick in the pants. And I tell you what, guys, this happens more than you can possibly imagine. And almost every single time this happens, you dig to the bottom of the ditch. You find the flattest rock that's involved in this, and you look under that rock, and you're going to find some low-life banking community sitting in the middle of this doing this to somebody. And almost always they're linked back to the Rothschild cartel. Austin, if I'm wrong, tell me. If I'm right, tell me I'm right.
No, you're spot on with that. We've talked about that numerous times. That every time you end up digging down deeper and deeper, it may be deep, it may be rocky, but you end up finding out that it's the exact same thing every time, that it ends up being some form of this global, this banking cabal, as you mentioned earlier, that essentially is ruling the planet. That's why, I mean, they own the United States. They own everything. That's one of the reasons why I feel that Russia has been such a thorn in their side, because Putin seems to be not one that seems to comply easy. He's not very submissive about anything. So I know it's very irritating, especially a lot of these globalist banks. That's why I think they're pushing so hard, so much negative publicity all the time against Russia. And now even, you know, trying to go as far as provoke them, like with that Turkey in the Russian jet shoot down. What's interesting, too, is there's another article that just came out now. Authorities now have discovered images of ISIS flags and severed heads on the cell phones of hundreds of asylum seekers crossing into Norway, highlighting concerns about terrorists exploiting the migrant crisis to infiltrate jihadists into Europe. Now, it's interesting, because we had brought this up before as far as what was the base that was really pushing a lot of these people in here. We know that we heard about a month ago, supposedly, some ISIS manifesto bragged about how the terror organization was exploiting the refugee program to infiltrate jihadists into Europe. Now, according to this new report, after searching luggage and mobile phones belonging to migrants, police have logged hundreds of images of people holding severed heads, along with photos and videos of executions and brutal punishments. Authorities also discovered numerous examples of ISIS flags and symbols belonging to other terrorist organizations. organization. And now, so far, I mean, you start digging around, supposedly at least three individuals who posed as refugees have now been connected to the November 13th Paris attack. And just last month, up in the Netherlands, an 18-year-old asylum seeker was arrested after he reportedly was bragging to other refugees that he fought alongside Al-Qaeda and ISIS in Syria and was bringing the fight to Europe. He was immediately arrested by Netherlands police. But so this is interesting. We're starting to see more and more of this, and that it's not just true asylum seekers, that it's people that are really trying to exploit the entire issue that happened over in Europe and is still continuing to go on.
Well, no, Islam is not a religion of peace at all. You got to read the Quran to see that. It's not at all. I tell you what, here, let me tell you boys something. If you want to show up at my house carrying a freshly severed human head, screaming jihad with an AK-47 at my front door, I'm going to show you a picture in your family of you without a head after my shotgun blows your head off. I mean, you got a bunch of, you guys are nuts. Who runs around with severed heads to get photos taken? Are you guys like, what's wrong with you people? Are you like nuts? I mean, who wants their photo taken with a severed head? What is this, Halloween horror night for real? I mean, are you guys, what's wrong with these people, Austin? I got to change something for a second. By the way, you told me that I said that our iodine is 12.5 milligrams. I think I said 13.5 the other day,
yes.
Didn't I? Okay.
Yes.
Healthmasters.com is bringing you this show. If you notice something, if you like this show, there are no commercials. I'm not running a bunch of commercials. You know, we bought the whole hour. Healthmaster sponsored it, and that's why we're running this show, you know, because I didn't want to do it with a bunch of sponsors with a commercial every 6.5 minutes that was 3 inches, 3 minutes, three long. I mean, I like some of the programming on Genesis Communication Network. I think some of it's great. I hate their clock. When I hosted the Power Hour, I was doing it for almost 6 months with Joyce. I was basically just flabbergasted by the clock. I couldn't believe that at 3 after you get a break, at 8 after you get a break, at 18 after you get a break, at 31 after you get a break, at 4, just break, commercials. And I told Austin, I said, one of the biggest reasons that I didn't want to go with Genesis was because of the clock and because of all these ridiculous commercials that you have to listen to. Because number one, you don't get to choose your commercials. I found all that out with Genesis. They may have some say-so, but not all say-so. And so if you have a company on there that you don't want promoting on your product, their product on your show, it doesn't make any difference. They're going to tell you they're going to do it anyhow. And so that's why we decided not to go on GCN. Now, that GCN's got some great programming, and I love them, but the point is, it's just that's not a clock that I want to be involved with. Now, I suggest all of you get our nascent iodine. It's you know, the atomic iodine. It's only $29. It's the least expensive you're going to get on the market of anything. Super, super high quality. It's in capsules, so you don't have to worry about the nasty taste of it. It's a phenomenal product. I use it every single day. I recommend you taking that, the astragalus, the immune support, the vitamin C, and the D3K2. Those are the products that are phenomenal as far as keeping your immune system healthy. As we come into the flu and cold season, you give us a call, 1-800-726-1834, 1-800-726-1834, or go to healthmasters.com website, and you can sign up for our free newsletter. That's phenomenal, by the way. I really like the stuff that I've written on all that. And I shouldn't say it's phenomenal because I wrote it. I kind of brag on myself. But it's just really good information. It's kind of like this show. We don't pull any punches on it. And I'll tell you, this because it's nonsense. These studies are nonsense. I mean, some of the studies telling you that it's better to take these drugs that make you want to commit suicide than it is to smoke, those are stupid. You know, get a nicotine patch if you want to quit smoking. Don't take drugs that make you want to kill yourself, Austin. It's nonsense. How do you feel about that Chantix commercial where they tell you how if you have suicidal thoughts or tendencies when you start taking this drug, please discontinue immediately and see your doctor? I mean, what is that?
Well, I mean, my thing is, I mean, people, don't get me wrong, I'm not an advocate of cigarette smoking, but I mean, people have been smoking tobacco for, you know, hundreds of years. It's not anything new. But to say, oh, you can take a medication now, and if you experience any suicidal thoughts or actions, well, dang, how many suicidal actions does it take to kill yourself? I mean, I guess last time I checked, you only need one good one, and it's done. I'm not a big fan of those.
Speaking about the bankers, here's a really interesting article from Hang the Bankers. I'm not making this up. It's from Hang. Literally, there's a website called Hang the Bankers. And it says, mercenaries operating in Yemen tied to Blackwater. Well, surprise, surprise, Blackwater.
Yeah,
and that's
surprise.
That complete lawless group of mercenaries and ex-special ops people that just like to shoot people for nothing.
They've had to change their name, 3 or 4 times now? It's not Blackwater anymore, and it's something else again.
receiving scant attention from Western mainstream media. Why would they? Because they probably own Blackwater. Mainstream outlets, except for a few notable exceptions, Americans and many alternative media outlets have remained ignorant to the fact that private mercenaries from Blackwater, also known as Academy, there's your new name, appear to have been contracted by the GCC Gulf State feudal monarchies to assist in the military war of terror in Yemen against the Houthi rebels and embattled Yemeni people. Still, on December the 9th, a flurry of reports from media outlets such as Press TV, Telesur, a bunch of other ones, and Columbia reports have revealed that around 15 Blackwater mercenaries have been killed in a fierce battle with the Houthi forces since Tuesday. Good, good riddance. I'm glad they're gone. May they not rest in peace. And I don't mean that mean to, because I'm sure there's some good guys in Blackwater. But the point is, gosh, I mean, you're a mercenary. You don't have a you just want to kill people for money because you were trained by special ops in the U.S. military. I mean, get a real job. Go start a shooting company, or go start a, you know, start selling. Do whatever. Do what you do and train. Do like what? Who was that guy they shot last year? Austin, the sniper. Was it Kyle? What was his last name?
Oh, Chris Kyle.
Yeah, Chris Kyle. I mean, start a shooting class. Teach people how to do sniping and all that. It's kind of dangerous, according to what happened to Chris Kyle. But just, you know, just do something different. You don't have to go in and be a mercenary. Chris Kyle didn't decide to be a mercenary. I mean, you realize what kind of mercenary Chris Kyle could have been, Austin? How much money they would have paid him for Blackwater? But he had a craw full of it. He finally realized that whole thing over there was obfuscation and lies, and he was silenced because he knew too much.
Yep.
I don't for one second believe that was just a random shooting of that guy. I don't believe that at all. I don't think you do either, do y'all?
No, I didn't believe it the first day I saw it. That boy was too skilled and too trained to have some PST, you know, TD guy with a pistol take both of them out like that at an empty range by themselves. There was a whole other thing that happened with that that nobody knows about, I'm sure.
But so you got to
exactly right. I mean, that was right on the heels of him basically stating that he was going to open up a giant tactical training camp and allow civilians, law enforcement, anybody that wanted to take it that could, you know, safely handle a weapon, to have them train in multiple tiers, you know, beginner, intermediate, advanced training, and teach people, you know, how to take mile shots with their 50 cal and stuff like that. And that was just not something that the globalists wanted anything to do with at all.
Well, and plus, remember, he was getting mouthy. He had had enough.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
He had. And if you watch the movie, it even shows that. I mean, it just shows that he had finally become disillusioned. Even in the movie, they show that with what was going on. I mean, how many people do you have to kill before you start to realize that, hey, this isn't fun anymore? I mean, this is awful. I mean, to me, I don't want to kill anybody. I mean, but if you have to do it, you have to do it. But to go and sign up in a Blackwater scenario where they can start hiring him, because he had a very specific skill set. I remember that movie, The Shooter, with Mark Wahlberg, when they're up on that helicopter on that ridge, and everybody's seen that movie, probably was listening to the show. And the senator says to Mark Wahlberg, I think I'd like to hire you. You have a very specific, unique skill set that we can utilize. Remember? And the guy goes, no, I'm not interested in working for you. And see, that movie, if you listen to the dialogue in that movie, they tell you a whole bunch of stuff that's really, really going on, and it may not be the exact places or the exact times or the exact people that were involved as far as what they're talking about, but it's giving you a general idea of what really goes on and how things are controlled through the media and through the military like that. Because remember... Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the whole movie is based on a false flag scenario that they try and set him up with and completely demonize him in the media and make him the shooter, and he had nothing to do with it.
Well, no, they were killing all those people for that oil pipeline. And what's interesting about this is they were going to, because he was the witness doing it, they had to get rid of him because he wasn't Blackwater. He was special ops. He was still in the military, so they just abandoned him there to get killed. See, and this is what people, folks, listen to me. If you're a police officer, you're in the military, I have high, high respect for you, the fact that you're even listening to this show. You don't have to do something that isn't right. You can say no. In Germany, the troops under the Third Reich that were told to do things that they refused to do, like kill prisoners of war or whatever, they weren't sanctioned, they weren't shot, they were just repositioned or basically sent somewhere else. They didn't have to go to court. They didn't get shot. They weren't put in front of a firing squad. If they were told to do something against their moral judgment, they didn't do it. A few years ago in Germany, they had a huge protest march, and they brought all these cops out there to quell the march. And finally, the cops found out what the march was all about. The cops pulled off their riot gear and started marching with the protesters. Austin, you remember that?
Yep.
And see, and this is what we have to do. You don't have to listen to people to tell you to do things that aren't right. You've got to use moral judgment, moral discernment, moral discretion. You have to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't think I want to be involved with any of this. And no, I'm not going to follow my order. Yes, if you fire me, okay, I got it. But I'm not going to do all this. I'm not going to torture these people. And I've read several books with these guys that have been involved in Abu Ghraib and every place else. They've tortured people. And when they get done with the military after they've done that to their fellow human beings, these people are messed up in the head. They're never right again. A lot of them are suicidal. A lot of them kill themselves. They're all post-traumatic, stressed out. I mean, this is something that we're not supposed to be able to do. This Luciferian bunch that likes to sacrifice people and kill people, they're like a whole different mindset. These guys are wicked to the core, and that's what we don't understand because we don't think that way. Most of us were raised with a Christian mindset in a country that was founded by Christians here in the United States of America, and we try to do what's right in God's eyes. And that separates us from so many of the other people, especially the people that are running the planet who have the ability to get through their stupid planes and spray this poison on us all the time, Austin, and think it's okay. It's not okay.
No, it's not. One last story I wanted to get out to just give you guys a heads up. You know, there's roughly about 11% of Americans now over the age of 12 are on some form of antidepressants. You know, Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, and other generics are among the most commonly prescribed antidepressants in the U.S. Research now suggests taking them during pregnancy increases the chances your child will have autism as well. Right here, only a few studies have examined this link now, but the latest from the University of Montreal is the largest of its kind. Researchers analyzed health records of more than 145,000 pregnancies and births in Quebec from 1998 to 2009. Children with autism were found to be born very, very often to mothers who took antidepressants than to those who did not. And now you can read more on that online if you're interested in it towards the end of the show. But that's showing you now directly that they are increasing your chances of your child having autism when you take antidepressants when you're pregnant.
And also remember this. If a mother is taking drugs like that when she's pregnant, that means she's already sold out to the medical model, which means she already believes that whatever her doctor says to do, she needs to do even when she's pregnant. She's going to be the exact same mother who's going to say, I don't have a problem with them immunizing my child 67 times because that's what they told me to do. See, that's the sheeple mentality. I'm going to do whatever I'm told to do, whatever I'm told to do it, regardless of how it affects me, my offspring, my family, or anybody around me. I don't care because the doctor is God. Simply not true. I know too many doctors who simply don't know anything about nutrition or health and who don't read their own literature and their own research, and they basically just stay with the 1970s and 80s stuff, and they're continually educated by the pharmaceutical corporations, which give them their continuing education, telling them how more and more and more drugs are needed to maintain the health of the United States. Well, I hate to tell you this, guys, we're already leading the world when it comes to heart disease, diabetes, and cancer in the United States. What they're doing is not working. We have the highest infant death rate in the whole world. It's not working. So anyhow, next tomorrow we'll be back on with you guys, 3 to 4 live. Stay tuned today. Dave Hodges is on after me. Stay tuned. Listen to Dave. And I appreciate you guys. We love you guys. And we'll talk to you soon. We'll have you on the air talking back to us. Thanks, guys.
You guys have a good night.